Verses 1 through 7. It says this, as Paul is describing the importance of love, and he is putting it against, comparing it to other things and showing how it's the most important of all that we can give. It says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not know envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Father, we come to you tonight and we pray that you would anoint the reading and preaching of your word, God. I pray that tonight that you would teach us, that you would open our hearts to the truth of scriptures, to the principles taught therein, that you would, God, just help us to become the husbands and wives that you would have us to become the followers of Christ that you would have us to be, Lord, that wherever we are in our lives, whether we are single or whether we're married or whether we're divorced or whatever the relationship that we are in or not in, I pray, God, that you would use our lives for your glory, that you would teach us through these scriptures that we are to love. And that we are to be faithful followers of you, that in everything we do, whether we're eating or drinking, that we're to do it for your glory. So I pray tonight, God, that you would teach us, instruct us, and grow us, and use all of it, God, to bring us all to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and conform us to his image. For we pray in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've covered a lot of ground so far, a lot of different topics, right? We've kind of, as I said before, made a broad stroke over just marriage and family and looked at a whole bunch of different areas. And my plan and desire is that we continue to do this, continue to look at different topics within marriage and family and have panel discussions and question-answer times that will go until school is out is what a plan and what we're things going to happen. So you just continue to pray that God would lead us in the right direction, that we do exactly what he wants us to do. But tonight what we're going to do is go back to the marriage, the husband and wife. As we started there, we're going to come back to it as we continue our look and go in depth in many of the topics that we've looked at and really try not to be repetitious and not, you know, say the same things again and preach the same sermons again, but rather look at different aspects of it. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at love between the husband and wife. And I believe that is the relationship that if it's not jiving, then the rest of those different areas that we've talked about with, you know, if the husband and wife relationship's not jiving, then the relationship with the kids isn't going to be jiving as well. There's going to be problems there. So we're coming back to that pivotal area that it needs to work, and we need to make it work. There are many different things that try to put out that fire, that those coals, those embers that are supposed to be burning within our relationships. Every day, something or someone is trying to throw water on those flames, throw water on those coals to take away that fire, and so that our relationships become cold and dead. We just start going through the motions, if you will. And one of the biggest enemies to your marriage, you may be surprised, one of the biggest enemies to your marriage is you. It's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's you. You're your own greatest enemy when it comes to your marriage being what it's supposed to be. And we have touched on this and we've talked about that because naturally we don't want to blame ourselves. And we even as children, nobody had to teach us not to want to blame ourselves. You don't find children saying, it was my fault, I did it, it was me. No, it wasn't her fault. No, it's the other way around, isn't it? We're always blaming the other person that is there with us. It's their fault. It's not my fault. And so, you know, I believe that's why we're our own biggest enemy. Your marriage is going to be what you make it out to be. You know, you really want it to be an awesome marriage, then you're going to work to make it an awesome marriage. You really want to have flames within your marriage, you want your to have a romantic relationship with your husband or your wife, well then you're going to work to make that happen. You're going to do what it takes. You're going to take the flint and you're going to strike it against the rock and you're going to continue to do that. You're going to fan the coals to cause them to flame, and that's your job. We said this in the beginning, marriage is work. And if you're not willing to work and you're just going to be lazy, it's your marriage is never going to be what God intended it to be. And I'm going to tell you, this is one job that you really can't afford to be lazy on. Amen? You really can't afford to be lazy. You can't sit down on this job. And it's not something where you know, a lot of jobs, if you do this one thing, you can coast for a while. You know, marriage isn't like that. It's every day when you crawl out of bed, you just like walking with the Lord. You make that decision before your feet hit the floor that hey, I'm going to love the Lord today. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to strive to glorify Him in my life. You make that very same kind of decision when you get out of the bed in the morning when it comes to your relationship to your husband or your relationship to your wife. You decide, am I going to do what it takes to make this marriage work so that it's not just two people going through the motion. The only thing that keeps us together is our children, and when they're gone, we don't know what to do. It's not going to be like that. We're going to strive to make it work, and we're going to make it into that glorious marriage that God wants it to be. So if your sex life has lost its glow, it's because you stop fanning the flame. Just stop putting the wood on the fire. You stop trying. So don't blame your spouse. You have to blame yourself. You know, after becoming a Christian, I wanted my marriage to be what God intended it to be. And when I would read the scriptures and I'd read these verses that we've talked about, I looked at them and thought, you know, how is that possible in my marriage? How can my marriage really become that? How can I love my wife like Christ loved the church and gave His life for it? And how is my wife ever going to, you know, submit to me as she was submitting to the Lord? This just looked so foreign to me and so far-fetched. How can even my sex life become what God intended it to be? I knew all of it wasn't what God wanted it to be. I was going to tell a story, but I think I might not because it's kind of embarrassing. Yeah, I just want you to know there's a really funny story, but I don't think it's funny. I'm not going to embarrass my wife. I'll say this much. We weren't Christians very long. And, you know, the preacher came over. We had been, I guess, say maybe a couple weeks, month tops. The preacher come over and visited us, and we were there in my living room, and we're just talking, you know, he's just getting to know us and we're getting to know him. And my wife, out of the blue, pulls out one of the most embarrassing questions that any wife could ever ask a preacher, whom you barely know at that. And it was so embarrassing. I was mortified. I couldn't believe that the words came out of her mouth. I was just like, I can't believe she just asked that. The preacher was red as a beet. Like, it took him probably 5 minutes to gain his composure. He just, he didn't know what to say. I don't know if he's embarrassed for himself or for me. But it was at that point I knew, hey, my marriage needs some work. we need to grow. And I'm not saying that at salvation our marriage was not completely changed, because it was. It was. And, you know, I thank God that, you know, my marriage is a whole lot different today than it was yesterday, than it was in those days. God has really worked and has really grown both of us. You know, marriage is a two-person deal here, and it really takes two to make it work. Both people working and striving together for the gospel to shine through their marriages. And that's what we've said before, is that's what marriage is about. It's about the gospel. It's about making Christ known through your marriage. And if it doesn't start there, it's dead in the water already. But moving past that funny story, I was always looking for ways to make my marriage what God wanted it to be. And I believe my wife was too. And, you know, it's a process. It's a growing process. And I know that my marriage isn't perfect and it's not what it should be, but I praise God it's not what it was, you know, that it is growing, that we are changing and being conformed. But I knew we needed more. And I think probably, you know, many of you maybe come to this marriage and family series who are married that, you know, you know that there is that need for more. There's need for more love, more intimacy, more unity. You know, you need more understanding of how to deal with each other and how to even argue and fight. You know, we all need that. Well, Sonia and I, we needed extra. Y'all have heard some stories. You know that we had some good knockdown dragouts. Houses burned down in the wake of our arguments. You know, it was intense. So I knew our marriage needed work, and Sonia did as well. Our children knew that our marriage needed work. So when I heard about this marriage seminar that was going to be going on in our area, I signed us up. It's like, yeah, let's go to that. You know, it can't hurt for sure. You know, this could be helpful, and praise God it went, because it really, really, really was helpful to my marriage. It really, Sonia and I both learned a lot through this, and the thing that we learned. One of the things that we learned that was just so important to our marriage, I knew that marriage was about covenant keeping, and you guys have heard that sermon, right? About, you know, it's about covenants, about loving each other in spite of each other. You know, you just love no matter what, but that can get kind of muddled. It can get complicated when you really don't understand how your spouse receives love, or how they communicate love. That was, I think, a really important part of the puzzle that Sonia and I did not understand. We didn't get it, and she'll tell you that. We learned that we don't receive love the same way. When I say I love you to Sonia, it's not the way she receives I love you. You know, for me, loving was touching, holding hands, hugging, kissing, the other stuff, you know, all of that stuff. That, to me, that communicated love. So when I was walking through the kitchen and I slapped my wife on the butt, that was me saying, I love you so much. You are beautiful to me. But that isn't what she was hearing. She was not hearing, I love you, when I smacked her on the butt. But, you know, it really, even though she would start chasing me and hit me back, you know, to me, she was saying, I love you too, baby, you know. It was, and so I just never stopped. Because it was, you know, I don't know. It's just how I communicated love to my wife. But I learned at that seminar something really important that I believe changed our marriage, or began the transformation in our marriage. That night we were both given these papers that had, you know, 100 questions on there, just asking you different things. You didn't know what these questions had to do with the price of rice in China on Thursday in the middle of the afternoon. It was like, what is this about? This is stupid. Why are we answering these questions? But we did. And when we got through answering the questions, they had another sheet that they gave us where we wrote down what we said on this number and that number. And so you had all these numbers, and you added them up and subtracted and divided and just did all this kind of all these kind of things. And at the end of the whole deal, this analysis showed you how you received and gave love. And so it was no surprise to me that my scores were through the roof on touching. You know, I like to hug. I like to shake hands. If you know, people here, when they leave, I hug their neck. It's just how I communicate love. I just tell you I love. Instead of saying I love you, I'll hug you. Or sometimes I'll hug you and tell you that I love you. You know, that's just how God built me. But what I learned that night is that's not the way my wife loves. She feels loved when you do things for her, like take out the trash. And I always wondered, because she would say to me, Toby, the trash is full. And so naturally, I would say, Tyler, Dustin, the trash is full. You know, she bosses me around and I boss them around, you know. I want to be able to hold my head up in the house, you know. Somebody's under my charge, you know. Boys take the trash out. And she would get aggravated at that. I'm thinking, it's going out. Who cares who takes it? I'm telling them to take it, you know. But what was she, why was she feeling that way? Because she received, you know, that's the way I showed her that I loved her, is I did things for her. You know, random acts of kindness, taking out the garbage, you know, go watch her try on dresses, go, you know, to the mall and just walk around, you know, just even going to Walmart, those type things, brushing her hair. Those things is what made her feel loved. And I hated doing all those things. I did. I hated them with a passion, and she can tell you. You know, she knew. I complained about it. When we pulled up in the parking lot of a mall or Walmart, I would start complaining at that moment. I would start complaining when we pull up. Look how many people here. I would just start complaining, and I would complain all the way in the store, and she would just be mad for the rest of the day. And I thought, how silly. She's mad at me because I don't want to go shopping, you know. For me, that was silly. But for her, I was saying to her that I don't love you. Or she was not seeing how much I loved her because I didn't want to do those things with her. And like I said, I hated doing them. I didn't enjoy going to the store, so I made sure that she didn't either. Husbands, how quick you think she was when... What y'all laughing at? Well, I'm telling you my journey. How quick you think she was to hold my hand and hug me and kiss me? She was slow to do those things. Why? Because she didn't feel like I loved her. Because I wasn't doing these things with her. I didn't want to do these things with her. And, you know, I just never thought that me being excited about going shopping with her would show her that I loved her. I didn't see it that way. I thought me holding her hand, she was feeling loved. I thought when I kissed her, she was feeling love, that I was saying to her, I love you with all my heart. But that's not it, you know. I really thought grabbing her on the butt and doing those things was showing her that I was attracted to her and that I loved her. But it wasn't. But she was making mistakes too. You see, she thought ironing my clothes... Honestly, she thought ironing my clothes, she thought going places with me like Bass Pro Shop. You know, she's a lady, and she never really, she started hunting with me, fishing, you know, doing things that I like to do. Even though she didn't really care a whole lot about going out in the woods and freezing to death, she did it because for her, she was communicating to me that she loved me. All the while, she could have avoided all those cold mornings if she would have just... kiss me, you know. But honestly, what was happening there is that I was loving her, and she was loving me, but we weren't getting it. It wasn't being communicated in a way that we understood it. And, you know, that seminar that we went to, it really opened our eyes. Now, our marriage didn't change overnight after that. It was a process. It was slow. I didn't wake up the next morning and go, woohoo, let's go to Walmart. You know what I mean? And nor did she wake up and, yeah, she didn't, you know. It was a process. But God has really, really blessed our marriage through learning this about each other and seeing that we don't receive love or give love in the same way. And in opening my eyes, this process started taking place. You know, believe it or not, I started doing those things that she wanted to do. Very reluctant at first. It started with the brushing hair. Sonia has always loved for her hair to be brushed. And it was a big ordeal when she brought the brush. You know, me and the boys were like, ah, you know, because she would start with them. And at what point they, you know, did their little hairbrushing or whatnot, then she would come to me and she would beg me. And I just didn't want to, but eventually I would. And she would get mad. She wouldn't come to me first because I didn't do it good. It hurt when I did it. And rightfully so, I wanted it to hurt, so she wouldn't ask me anymore. You know, I don't want it to feel good because then she'll come back and want me to do it again, you know. And so I would do it and finally say, my arm hurts, you know, I'm tired. And it was just that's how I was. But when I learned that me brushing my wife's hair is how I tell her that I love her, when I learned that going to the mall and just walking around and watching her try on dresses was me saying to her, I love her, you can ask her. I rarely say no anymore. In fact, sometimes I'll come to the bed with the brush because I know me doing that tells her that I love her. And I'll never tell her no. She'll say, if she comes to the bed with the brush, I'm not going to say no because I understand that for me to say no is going to make her feel that I don't love her. And so I believe a big aspect of your marriage is learning how your wife, how your husband receives love, and then striving to show them the love, their love in the way that they understand it, in their love language. And what you'll find in that is that as you love them the way they receive love, they're going to love you in the way that you receive love. And it's just it's a beautiful thing when your marriage comes to that point where you begin to understand each other in that way. And you don't have to take a 100-question questionnaire to figure this out. You can learn it just by watching your spouse. You see them doing things like men going with you to NASCAR or doing something that women don't normally like to do. You know, it's probably safe to say that she feels loved when you do things with her. Buying you these cute little gifts or whatnot, you know, she's communicating to you that she's saying I love you in her language, and this is how you say I love you back. Or if she writes you letters, or ladies, if he writes you letters and leaves them in places and you pick them up and read them, he is communicating to you in a way that he receives love, unless he's come to this place in his life where he understands that this is how he's supposed to love you. My wife does not brush my hair. I don't brush her hair because I actually want her to brush my hair back because I don't want her to. What I want is for her to hold my hand. I want her just to, out of the blue, come up and grab me and, you know, plant a big wet one on me. I want her to do those things. That's how I receive love. And, you know, when she does that, I just start glowing. I'm looking for brushes, let's go to the store, whatever you want to do, you know. That's how it works. And it's not that we do these things in order to receive, it's just how it works. When you begin loving your spouse in the way they understand love, they're going to start loving you in the way that you understand love. And it's a beautiful thing. What happens is that over time, that thing that I used to hate, brushing her hair, it's become natural. It doesn't bother me. In fact, I've become very comfortable communicating love in the way that she receives it. And I believe the same, you know, has happened with her. Going and trying on dresses, what man loves to go do that, right? Not try on dresses myself, but go with my wife to try on dresses. It's lots of sitting there, looking at dresses, you know, trying them on, but I've grown to actually like doing it. And we have this little game we play, you know, when we look at dresses, she's saying, no, don't tell that, don't tell that. Cannot, it's just fun. You know, can I please? Okay. Then you won't know what I say about you. It's innocent, but we go and try on dresses and you know, sometimes we're talking about, you know, 2-3-4 hour endeavor going to malls, trying on dresses, and you know it's true. But so what I'll do is I'll pick out this dress that I know she would never, ever wear in public. That's like revealing, and she'll try it on, and she'll stay in the little area there where nobody can see her except me. And so that's fun for me, you know. Just one, the whole deal. But this, you know, she feels love when we do that. And when we do that, she'll hold my hand. You know, and I know she's showing me that she loves me because I'm showing her that I love her. And so I think that's important. What I've learned about loving her and her love language is that it leads to her loving me in my love language, which would lead you to say, well, isn't that selfish? Isn't it selfish that you're just doing that because you want her to love you in the way that you want to be loved? And I would say, no, that's how it works. That's just how it is. You know, your love leads to her love. Her love leads to your love. It's just a relationship. So the question is here, how do we learn our spouse's love language? And I've already told you, I don't believe it comes, you don't have to have a questionnaire to come up with that. It comes through you studying your husband, you studying your wife, and learning. And I think if you pay attention for any length of time, you'll know how it is that your husband or your wife receives love. One of the things that I learned last week, I was reading C.J. Mahaney's book, Sex, Romance, and the Glory of God. It's a really good book. I would suggest it to anyone. But what I learned there is that we need to constantly, be working on new ways to communicate love to our spouses in the way that they understand it. And he amazed me. You know, he's an older gentleman. He's bald-headed. He's a great preacher. You know, just one of the best preachers probably alive today. He's a really, really good communicator of the gospel. But in this book, he really just opened up and shared his relationship. And now, what I was just so amazed about is how he is so intentional. Every week, he is so intentional about studying his wife. Like when they go walk around the mall, he pays attention to what she picks up and what she likes and what she says. Maybe they're at home and a commercial about a play, he's just always listening for things to do. And so he's just always studying her. And I thought, that's really cool that he puts that much work into his relationship. But what you'll find as you read that book is that his relationship is incredible. He has an awesome relationship with his wife. And I believe it's because he puts a lot of work into the relationship with his wife. And men, I know that my sermons are all the time seem to be more focused on you than on the wives, but there's good reason for that. It's because God has put all this on the shoulder of the man. That's why you have broader shoulders than your wife, is because God wants you to work harder to make your marriage work. He wants you to lead your wife in worship, lead your wife to church, lead your wife out on dates, lead your wife into this romantic relationship that you're supposed to be having. And that doesn't take the women off the hook. It doesn't. But what they need to see is that you're ready to lead in this endeavor, that you're willing to do the work. And when they see that you're willing to do the work, they see that you're willing to do what it takes to make your marriage work, then they are going to begin striving to do the same to make your marriage work. In his book, C.J. Mahaney, he gave seven steps in rekindling the romance in your marriage. And he talked about each one of these, and I'll mention them briefly. And these are things that he does in his marriage. One is date night. He actually does a date night every week is what he tries to do. And he said he ends up doing it 2 to 3 times a month. But he said he strives to do it every night so that he knows he will at least do it 2 or 3 times a week. And I thought, wow, that's a lot. I'm thinking to myself, I don't have the money to go out every week. But then he addressed that. He said, there's a lot of cheap things you can do. You can go for a walk in the park, you want to walk in the forestry, you can go out on a picnic when it warms up. There are things we can do to romance our wives that don't cost a lot of money. One of the things that I do with my wife that doesn't cost a lot of money is just going and walking around the mall and trying on dresses. That doesn't cost anything, usually. And if she does buy a dress, it's got to be on sale and marked down 70, 80% off, so we end up getting $5. If she's really frugal. Praising you, baby. Work and find out something you can do that's less expensive if going out every night, once a week is hard. Another thing he said is phone calls and text messages. Staying in contact with your husband or your wife, shooting them a text saying, hey, I love you, out of the blue, or making that phone call. Another thing he said is note cards and letters, leaving letters on the table, or women putting a letter in his lunchbox, or do men still take those to work? If they do, put it in there, put it in their jacket pocket or something. Do random things to show your spouse that you love them. Another thing he said is gifts. Buying them a gift. And another one he said is music. And he gave a warning up front. If you're not gifted in singing, then scratch number five off. But he said, if you are, you know, write a song for her. You know, write a song, sing it to her. You know, do things like that for your spouse. And ladies, the same for you. He talked about getaways, you know, taking your wife or husband on a vacation, wife on a vacation. And he also said surprises, surprise them with things. Now, you may be thinking that's a lot of work, preacher. Yeah, it is. And we said that in the very beginning. I made no bones about that. If you want your marriage to work, it's going to take work. It's going to take you striving and doing the work. And I said in the beginning of this sermon, this is not the job to be lazy on. You can't afford it. You want your marriage to be vibrant. You want it to go the distance. You want to still be in love when you're 80 years old and still be romantic. Then you have to work and make it to be that. You have to communicate. And this is one of the things that I would encourage is I'll be given, you know, homework, is for you to sit down and talk about this stuff. Sit down and talk about how you feel love. You know, that's an easy way to find out how your husband receives love, is sit down and ask him. Usually it's not hard for women to figure this out, for men, but men it's a little harder. You know, sit down with your wife and communicate with her. You know, and find out what, you know, when does she feel most love? What affirms your love for her more than anything? And I think she'll probably be honest and open and tell you. When you watch the kids while, you know, I go for a walk, or when you do this or that, they'll usually let you know. And then you strive to do those things. Husbands, Christ called you to love your wives like he loved his church and gave his life for it. You know what that means? Is that you're never going to love your wife as much as you're supposed to. So you never have to ask yourself this question, do I love my wife too much? Because I can promise you, unless you're loving her like Christ loved the church, which is highly unlikely, then you're not loving her enough, and you're not showing her enough. And wives, the same goes for you. You should show your husbands that you love them. And you should show them that you love them in their language and reaffirm with him that you need his leadership, that you need his love. Husbands need to hear that. They need to be affirmed, you know, reaffirmed that you think that they are handsome, that you believe they are strong, that you really appreciate how hard they work to put food on the table. And I know they're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. But you know what you do? You find those things that they are doing, and you praise them for it. You let them know how much you appreciate what they do, and how much you do love them. And it's only gonna you know, fan the flames. It's only gonna cause them to strive even more to show you. And it kind of sounds like I'm teaching you how to train a dog, huh? You know, you teach Fido to sit, and he does it. You give him a bone, right? You throw him a treat. That's kind of what I'm saying, but not really. But when they do things that they're supposed to do, praise them for it. Men, when your wives do things that they, you know, they're supposed to do, they're showing you that you love them. Show them that you appreciate that. When they cook supper for you and they've worked and had the kids all day and they make that supper, you know, you need to tell them that you appreciate that and that you love them and that they are beautiful. And husbands, it come to my attention. You know, on the question answer time, I didn't deal with this question because I figured I'd deal with it later, but I'm assuming a lady put a question in the box this last time that said, could you remind the husbands about telling the wives that they're beautiful and that it starts in the kitchen? That's what it said. You know, and what is it that this lady's crying out for? For affirmation, for you to show them that you love them and that they're beautiful. How long does it take to say to your wife that she's beautiful? It doesn't take but a couple seconds. There's a whole lot that God does in those couple seconds when you tell them that. A whole lot. They're cooking supper. They're doing something that takes a long span of time. And your responsibility is to come in and say, you know what, this is incredible. I so appreciate your hard work, and you're beautiful. Even if they go and buy it at the store, whatever it is. There's so many different things that wives do that you can appreciate them for. Wives, although God has placed your husband in the lead, even though he is supposed to be leading and all of this stuff, he needs those affirmations. He needs to hear those things. And I already said that, but tell him how much you appreciate him. So here's your homework. I'm getting done a little early. Here's your homework for this week and even this month. I want you to try these things that we've talked about. If you didn't write them down, shame on you. But you can go back and hear the sermon again on the internet. But study your spouse. Let it be your homework to learn how it is they receive love. And then you strive to show them love in a way that they understand it. You communicate in a language that they get. And figure that out. And when you figure it out, strive to do it. And as you do it, it's not going to be comfortable at first. But the more you do it, the more you see how pleased your wife or your husband is, the more you're going to want to do it. The more you're going to want to please them and show them. You know, wives, figure out how your husband receives this love and show it to them. Husbands, figure out how your wives receive this love and show them that you love them. When he does something good, reward him. When she does something good, reward her. And God will bless it. So, that's your homework. Be intentional about bringing, fanning the flames, fanning the coals, so that your marriage will become the God-glorifying picture of Christ and his church that he wants it to be. And I want you to listen to this these verses again as it talks about love. I want you to listen to the way that Paul describes love. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." That means if you have the ability to speak in a language that the angels speak in and you don't have love, then you're just making noise. It's useless. It's worthless. It's of no effect. So love is important. And he says, "If I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing." He says, it doesn't matter how well you prophesy, how well you preach, how well you communicate. It doesn't matter how much faith you have. Even if you can move mountains with your faith and you don't love, it's worth nothing. How important is it to God that we love? Not just the people in our church and the people in our community, but our husbands and our wives. He says, "If I give away all I have," in verse 3, "and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." So even if you can give your body to be burned, sacrifice everything, and you don't have love, then Paul says it's worthless. And now he describes love. Love is patient. That's a hard one, isn't it? Love is patient. That means it's long-suffering and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. That's powerful. Love doesn't insist in its own way. It doesn't seek its own. Husbands, wives, your love is not about seeking your own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's a lot of stuff about love that I know that I miss the mark. I miss it quite often. But God wants us to get back up and to strive to be the husbands and to strive to be the wives that God has called us to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for marriage. Thank you for my wife and just the wonderful example that she is to me, and I thank you that she is, Lord, she's able to allow me to tell the hard things about our marriage, the funny things about our marriage, and and allow you to use it for your glory. And I pray that you just use it for that to that end, God, is that you use it to glorify yourself, to cause each and every one of us to strive to be the husband and wife that you would have us to be, God. And I just pray that we become transparent on a major scale, that all of us are helping each other to grow in Christ, that all of us are helping each other's marriages to become the God-glorifying pictures of Christ and his relationship to his church that they're supposed to be. And so, God, I just pray tonight that you cause our marriages to be forgiving and to be filled with work. Cause these husbands to be the men, to lead their wives and their families like they're supposed to. And God, I just pray you bless us, bless our marriages. For we pray these things in Christ's strong and powerful name. Amen.